This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with Ben Jarofsky, who writes a weekly column for the Chicago Reader called The Works. Today, Ben and I are talking not about one of his articles, but about recent staff changes at the Chicago Reader. These changes took place after the Chicago Reader's new owner, a company called Creative Loafing, cut the Reader's budget. So, Ben, you've been on the Reader staff since when? The late 80s?
Yeah, well, I've been on the Reader staff since 1990. I've been with the Reader as a writer for now, oh my God, 22 years, and I've been a staff writer for the Reader for 17 years.
The reason we're talking is because a couple of weeks ago, the Reader laid off four of your fellow staff writers, some of them have been around just as long as you, Steve Bagheera, John Conroy, Harold Henderson, and Tori Marlin. How did you find out about the layoffs?
Steve Bagheera gave me a call. He actually sent me an email, and we talked. He told me what was coming, and then later on that day, I think, or maybe the next day, there was an email sent out from the Reader management saying that there would be cuts due to falling revenues, what have you.
What was your reaction when Steve called you?
Well, I was really upset, and I was very blue, and I was blue for a long time because I know these people, so I felt really bad for them. And then I just felt bad for journalism in general, and the Reader in particular, and it's not quite clear if we'll be able to get the sort of product that the Reader provided throughout the 80s and the 90s when it was at its best.
What do you think will happen to the content of the Reader?
Well, that's a very good question. I think the Reader has made it clear that they don't want to change the weekly voice.
How has the Reader made that clear?
They made it clear in terms of who they kept and who they laid off that people who were in there every week were going to remain, whereas people who were not on there every week were not going to remain.
So it's an implicit message rather than an explicit one.
Oh, yeah. Very, very much so. And see, that was the great strength of the Reader throughout the 90s, is that it kept on its staff people who had the freedom to delve into stories, take a lot of time, write them, and then produce cover stories that were longer. That was the great thing about the Reader. Its strength and its weakness. Long investigative stories that were not afraid to take on challenging issues and tell them in all their complexity. And many readers of the Reader would complain, the stories are too long, I don't have time to read them. That became a favorite refrain throughout the 90s. And the attitude of the people who ran the Reader was disdain. They didn't care, and they didn't have to care that readers were complaining about the length of their stories because they were making money off the paper, it was selling ads. See, all this began when the original owners of the Reader sold to a new group, Creative Loafing. And so Mike Lenahan was one of those original owners, and he hired me. And I remember when he hired me, he told me two things. One, he told me the less we see of you, the better. So no staff meetings, you work at your house and just send your stuff in. And he also told me to think epic. I remember him telling me that, think epic. So when you delve into a story, don't hold yourself back. Really delve into it. So my interests at the time were politics and sports. So I was given the freedom to really delve into profiles of politicians, some of whom were off the beaten trail, some of whom were rather obscure. And then, of course, I was given complete freedom to write neighborhood stories, little tales of the city that were supposed to give you a greater understanding of how the city as a whole worked. I did that throughout the 90s, neighborhood news.
But now we're not going to have the people on staff who have that sort of freedom. So now what we've got is we've got not just an events listing, but we still have weekly features like yours, like what Michael Miner does on media and the press, but not much else. So what does the future of the Reader look like to you?
I think the big challenge for the Reader will be to figure out a way to keep those substantive investigative feature stories coming in. By freelancers, yeah. And I don't know how they're going to do that.
Why not?
It's hard. First of all, it's difficult to find freelancers who are schooled enough in Chicago to write those kinds of stories. People who tend to be freelancers are young neophytes who don't know what they're doing yet and are learning as they go. And then it's hard to find someone willing to do it again and again and again.
Why wouldn't they, if someone is really interested in that?
It's difficult because people have to earn a living, pay the rent, pay the bills. That's the difficult part about it. And it's hard to find a way to make a living doing those kinds of stories, long investigative stories. We have to invest 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time.
If you're trying to sell something as a freelancer, you can't sustain that
exactly.
journalistic momentum.
Right.
If you will.
You can't. You have to invest your time into a story. And if you're investing your time into a story, you're not making money. It's just the basic principle of freelancing. It's going to be very difficult to find people who can do that on a regular basis. And the great system that the reader, the original reader had set up, was where you just put them on staff and they spend their time looking into longer term stories.
So do you think the reader will ever come back to that?
I don't know. They can sell ads and expand and bring in money. I think they will come back to that. Right now, I don't know what the future is for publications in terms of selling ads. The internet has been really picking up a chunk of that change. And so all the newspapers are trying to figure out which way to go.
Maybe if you and I get more sensational in these interviews and then advertise the reader, that will snowball into some have said that the reader's editor and or publisher should have resigned rather than firing their best writers. And that would have had the twofold effect of, first of all, sending a message to the owners, what is important to the management of the reader. And then secondly, it might make it unnecessary to fire so many writers because the reader managers would have taken the hit instead. What's your reaction to that perspective?
I didn't buy that. I know that principal resignations are important in government, but I think that mass resignation at the reader would have, number one, hurt the reader even more than it's been hurt, which I don't think anybody wants. I think people want to be hopeful that the reader will emerge stronger and get back to what it has done for so long. And secondly, for the people involved, I don't know how their families could have handled that. You know, I think it's easy for people on an outside to give advice if they don't have to live with that advice. So they were urging somebody else to put their family in doubt. So it's easy for people on the outside to be all principled about making a decision that's going to be a great inconvenience to somebody else. I never took that as a very serious recommendation. It would just cripple the reader and knock somebody's family for a loop. And to what purpose?
We'll have to leave it there. This is Dave Gloetz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. Check back at MrRadio.org for further installments. Thanks for listening.